The basic point in shamatha is in order to develop peace, we have to discover what confusion is. So then the question is, how do we work with the confusion? And that's where the technique comes in. So I'll give you a traditional definition of shamatha. There are lots of them. But one of the great teachers, Jamgon Kontrol, the great, defines shamatha as resting the mind one-pointedly on a virtuous object. Resting the mind one-pointedly on a virtuous object. So the literal word of shamatha, shama means peace, ta means to rest or dwell. So abiding, calm abiding, sometimes translated. Once we see how confused and wild the mind is, the first gesture that we make is to stop or rest or simplify. So this word rest, in Tibetan anyway, could be interpreted different ways. It literally means to let something rest, or it could mean to place something. So it's like, you know, you're placing your glass right here and you say, stay, don't move. So the glass just rests there. It's very obedient. So if we could do the same thing with our mind, if we could place our mind and you say, stay, don't move. And if it actually stayed, that would be first step of shamatha. Now, of course, we say, you know, first of all, it says rest the mind, but most of us are not quite sure what the mind is and how do you get the mind to rest? It's not an object that you can place somewhere. So the notion here is that you rest the mind one-pointedly on an object. We actually use objects as a way to try to get the mind to rest. And this, of course, is what we use, the breath, also the posture is our object. But there could be many different kinds of objects. The basic principle of shamatha could work with looking at a statue of the Buddha with our gaze as a way to calm the mind. It's considered virtuous because it's the Buddha. It's an awakened being. And the qualities of that mind of the Buddha are in some sense captured symbolically in that statue by the posture, the gesture, the way the eyes are, the whole feeling of the Buddha statue, just by looking at that can calm the mind. They say you can also look at a piece of a rock or a stick. They used one of the classic meditation things they used in the ancient days was they'd make a little mound of dirt, smooth it off, and it would be in a circular form, so they'd be looking at a circular disc, or they might color it red or blue just to look at a pure visual form. And they would use that as their object. Working with the breath is the most common object and most popular in the Buddhist tradition. And all these different objects, some of them could be mental. For example, sometimes they'll give you a contemplation, like a phrase, may all sentient beings be happy. And then repeating that over and over again becomes your shamatha object. Or life is impermanent. You could say that over and over again, and that could become your shamatha object. Different objects were used in the tradition based on different problems that people were experiencing. However, the breath was considered to be a kind of universal object, meaning works for almost everything. In particular, they say two things. It's really good for people who are very smart and therefore tend to be very discursive, because there's, as soon as you work with the breath, it is calming and it is also soothing, actually blissful. It's pleasurable to be aware of the breath. It's almost like being rocked in a hammock or a cradle. This very soothing quality of the breath. And particularly this notion of, you know, kind of relaxing. When people relax, it's like they finally stop holding their breath. So to be able to relax the breath more and more relaxes the mind and the body. It's also considered to be work well for people who are a little bit stupid or dull, because it's simple, there's no real intellectual content, and it's also a little bit subtle, so it perks people up. Although it's interesting, some people have trouble finding the breath at the beginning because it's not a solid object like a visual object. All of these objects are considered to be virtuous in the sense that they are kind of neutral, or they promote openness and spaciousness. What would be an example of an unvirtuous object is what might be a typical neurotic thought of being angry at somebody. Then that person becomes our shamatha meditation, and we visualize them very clearly, and we contemplate all their bad qualities, and we contemplate how we're going to get even or avoid them. So that's obviously leads to kind of a fixation and a closing down of the mind, and increases our stupidity, meaning our kind of narrow-mindedness. Whereas, as the Vidyadhara mentions in the book, one of the key things about working with breath is that it's very close to mind. Breath is invisible and has a texture and tangibility, but cannot be grasped. In the same way, our mind is basically invisible, but has a tangibility, and actually in some ways has a much more vividness, but also cannot be grasped. So the notion of working with breath is that you're in some sense practicing for working with mind. And we sometimes talk about our tradition as mixing mind and breath, or we sometimes talk about it mixing breath with the space, or we could say it the other way, mixing mind with space. So those three images of working with mind, breath, and space are very closely tied together. And we'll talk more about that as we get into this. So that's the virtuous object. Then this last thing has to do with one-pointedly. Many people, myself included, thought one-pointedness meant you kind of, your mind focuses and focuses and focuses until it becomes this kind of laser beam that then just slices right into, you know, comes down to a point where you could thread the eye of the needle, so to speak. And I remember that's what I used to do. I would stare at candles, and when they really started vibrating, I thought, now I'm cooking, you know, really meditating. Whereas that's actually just making your mind tight and your eyes tight, and anybody can do that. But it's actually not what is meant by one-pointedness. The whole notion of one-pointedness in this tradition has to do with what we call the dot in space principle, which is that to really be on the dot, there also has to be some relaxation and some awareness of a larger world. So the Vidyadhara talked about that in The Path is the Goal when he said, you know, when you're working with the breath, 25% is all you need to place on the breath, which is not that much. It's a very light touch. And then he said there's 25% just relaxing or being open. Then there's 25%, which he called awareness, or he said is making friends with yourself. So you're actually tuning into what's going on in your state of being,